Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
On today's show, we'll be talking about accessibility of art museums for the visually impaired. And you may think that is silly, but just because your vision is failing, why should you have to stop doing anything you enjoy? And that includes going to art museums. We'll actually be taking a little bit of a tour through our local art museum and talking to some of the people who have made it more accessible to the visually impaired. First, to our tip of the week. This week's tip is, ask what services and provisions a museum makes before you go, because some things they offer require prior arrangements, such as a personal specialized tour.
We learned a lot just investigating some information for this show. I mean, often when we go to places like that, we'll ask at the desk what kind of different accessibility things they might have for visually impaired people. But one of the messages they really drilled into us here was that if you ask in advance, they can do even more for you and to make this a more fun and informative experience. But it's always good to ask, you know, even if you don't have the time to ask in advance or find out from their website what they might offer. It's often good to ask at the door, and sometimes there are surprises. I mean, we were at that King Tut exhibit in Toronto, and we just happened to be walking around with my cane, and someone came up to me and said, would you like to take advantage of our audio tour? And they handed us a little gadget for listening to each station of the tour as you went through. And that was really handy. It was fun.
And that was great. They actually gave me a headset as well, because they figured, well, if he's listening to the audio tour, what am I going to do? Just stand there while he's listening to all this interesting stuff. So they gave me a headset, and we were both very happy. It was very informative, very interesting, and saved my throat.
The other thing that was a little surprising to us, and we mentioned this on some of our previous shows on vacationing, when we were out in San Diego at the zoo and visiting an aircraft carrier, often they'll have the blind person or, you know, handicapped person pay to get in and allow their escort to come in for free. So you can get in two for the price of one sometimes, and that's very good too.
We always appreciate whatever they do for us, because
yes,
they don't have to. They just do it to be good, and we appreciate it.
And as you'll see, some of them work quite hard at it and offer some very interesting and even surprising services.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about accessibility for the visually impaired at art museums. We went to the Memorial Art Gallery in Rochester, New York, on a day when the museum is usually closed, so we had the galleries to ourselves. That was a rare treat to begin with. But we also had a very informative person taking us around, and that was an even bigger treat. You'll notice there's a slight echo in the audio because of the massive size of the gallery exhibit rooms, and you'll also occasionally hear some gallery staff moving equipment in the background. So we got to meet some of the people responsible for making the museum accessible to people with visual impairments.
I'm Susan Dodge Peters-Dayes, and I'm Director of the Education Department at the Memorial Art Gallery.
Hi, I'm Tatiana Baglioni, and I'm an intern at the Education Department. I go to Clark University in Worcester, Massachusetts.
The Education Department in most museums and here is really the department that links between the collections that we have, the art that we have, and our audiences. And it's our commitment that our art collection be accessible to the broadest possible audiences.
That's you.
That's me, huh?
That would be all of us here. That would be all of us. And so accessibility is something that we take very seriously, whether it is how do you introduce a five-year-old to a work of art is very different than you do a doctoral student. So the challenge is same work of art, different audiences, and how do you make connections?
And their commitment to accessibility extends well beyond the walls of the museum to their website as well.
The webmaster is deeply committed to accessibility. Uh-huh. So that's something that she on the team was insistent on. So I'm really glad that it worked.
That's good.
And I must say, their website was very accessible when I went to look for some of the information about the museum and some of the accessible exhibits.
So as you'll hear, they have actually several flavors of audio tours, and we asked about how they got started and why they would think to make these great audio tours available at the Art Museum.
I have worked in museums now for over three decades, and I have a particular interest in really connecting people in art, and that is one of the programs that the gallery has had for many, many years and predates my being here is a program that works with individuals in the community who are blind or visually impaired. And we had a group of folks who met monthly for a number of years. And the tours that we led here, Touch Tours, was my first introduction into making an art museum accessible for individuals who are blind or visually impaired. That was my entry point. And I have to say, the privilege of being able to touch art myself is something that I don't take for granted. I'm trained about how to deal with art, and touching works of art is not something that we do casually. So what a privilege for me also to work with individuals who are blind and finding a way to help them experience the artwork in ways that informed me deeply about the objects as well.
So these audio tours and touch tours, they're not really a specific temporary exhibit. This is something that once it's there, it will be there forever.
In a sense, it's not an exhibit with a beginning point and an ending point. So I just want to clarify that. These are really programs that we offer, and the program of touch tours are available for anyone at any time. They just have to call in advance. So that exists, and the pieces we'll be looking at are in our permanent collection. Therefore, they are always here. The other program, and that's how I connected with Reach Out Radio through Ruth Finney, is that we now have 10 pieces of art in the collection described, audio described. And that's also artwork that's not going to leave. It's artwork that belongs to the Memorial Art Gallery.
So although we're talking about the Memorial Art Gallery in Rochester, New York, this isn't the only museum that has this kind of provision for the visually impaired. It's a good bet if you ask that the art museums in your location or wherever you're traveling to will also have the ability to give you an audio or tactile tour.
There are museums around the world that do offer audio described tours, touch tours, offer exhibitions that are planned specifically by individuals who may be blind or may be visually impaired or may be making art that is intended to be experienced tactilely. So we're not alone. We're relatively small in terms of really focusing as intently as we have been on offering these different services. The Museum of Modern Art has a whole division for art and accessibility. The Metropolitan Museum of Art also does. Most of the big museums have a real commitment, and they're usually, if not always, run through the education departments, to make these wonderful collections accessible. And there are a whole variety of ways that we do it. And most museums do offer, with advance notice, will it offer touch tours? There are selected pieces in the collection that I have permission to always lead a touch tour.
Oh, so that's interesting. So calling in advance could be a useful tool also, instead of just walking in and saying, what do you have available?
Well, because you would need a trained staff person.
Exactly.
A docent or a trained staff person.
Okay.
You know, I must say, it wasn't always like that. I was telling Nancy earlier the story about many years ago when I was in one of the major New York City museums, and I had my cane and was wandering around with some friends, and the guard came up to me and said, "Sir, excuse me, we don't allow people in the museum with long, straight, pointy objects. We're afraid they might poke holes in the art." And I looked at him and I said, "If I don't have this, I think you might wind up with a lot more holes in the museum's art." So it's nice to see that things are changing and there's a real commitment around the world to make these things accessible for people with visual and other impairments.
In fact, in our conversation with Susan Dodge Peters-Dayas, who you've been listening to, she mentioned an organization called Art Education for the Blind. And they run something called Art Beyond Sight as a collaboration of museums, schools, colleges, universities, blind peoples, community organizations, and others. And you can get a lot more information about that by going to www.artbeyondsight.org. And they largely provide information for museums about, well, how would you make your museum accessible to the visually impaired? And one really cool thing that I found on their website is something they call New York Beyond Sight. Audio descriptions of over 50 sites around the five boroughs of New York. And here's a little blurb from their website because they describe it so well. New York as you've never heard it before. Prominent New Yorkers describe their favorite works of art and culture, architecture, and city landmarks. Here, politicians, actors, artists, business and community leaders use verbal description to make New York's visual culture accessible to all, including people with visual impairments. They describe verbal description as a way of using words to represent the visual world. It helps people who are blind or visually impaired to form mental images of what they cannot see and provides a new perspective for people with sight. And they describe everything from the Brooklyn Bridge to Yankee Stadium, both the old one and the new one. The New York City Public Library, Trinity Church is described by the pastor. They've got a couple of borough presidents doing descriptions, artists, dancers, everybody you can think of. And it is really a cool way to get an audio tour of New York City without ever leaving your chair.
You are listening to Viewpoints, 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 Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is taking a tour through our local art museum. Let's do it. You walk in the front door and up to the admissions desk. Here's what you can expect.
So the best we're doing right now is that if somebody comes in to the gallery, to the front desk, and someone is self-identifies as, "I am visually impaired, I am blind, I would like your audio tour," we will give you a notebook with or a sheet of paper, the Braille sheet, mm-hmm. that will tell you where they are. Mm-hmm. It's really dependent on having a sighted guide mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. you at this point.
They actually have three different varieties of audio descriptions of the various artwork.
There are three separate audio tours, and one of the audio tours is led by the director. That is his very personal relationships with different works of art in the collection. Mm-hmm. The director's tour really is his choice, and it goes through the entire collection, and they're his favorite pieces. Mm-hmm. He describes it, and his are really lyrical. Then the curator of American art also did an audio tour of pieces that she is especially interested in the collection. She's a real historian. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a historian's point of view. And the audio described tour is relatively new. We hired an individual as a writer using a protocol from an organization called Art for the Blind. We used a protocol that's mostly used in theater, and that's how it was started. So no interpretation, no history, but what are you looking at? Mm-hmm. And it's designed so that a sighted visitor and an individual who is blind could look at a work simultaneously. The person who is blind would hear it described, and it will be best experienced, I think, mm-hmm. Hear it described, and then a conversation could ensue.
conveniently, we were standing in front of some of the art that had audio descriptions to go with it.
One of the pieces that's described is actually right beside us. It's yeah. Boomtown by mm-hmm. Thomas Hart Benton. Mm-hmm. I would really be interested to know what it's like for both of you to experience it together, mm-hmm. if that's a possibility.
Sure.
I do have my cell phone.
Okay.
So the way they do it at the art museum here is they post a cell phone number on the wall or on that sheet of paper that they give you, and you dial into that telephone number and hit the appropriate button, and then the audio description starts playing over your cell phone. So let's listen first to the described audio that was intended specifically for the visually impaired.
Before you is Boomtown by Thomas Hart Benton, completed around 1928. Boomtown is roughly 46 inches high by 54 inches wide. This complex oil-on-canvas painting captures a snapshot of an active oil town set in a panoramic landscape of the rolling hills of the Texas Panhandle. The foreground of the painting depicts a midday, bustling street scene in Beauregard, a town that grew up almost overnight in the mid-1920s. In a busy intersection, we see lively, one-dimensional caricatures of men and women, parked Model T cars, and hastily erected buildings lining a newly created dirt road.
And the description keeps going, working its way around the canvas, describing each of the facets of the painting, of which there are very many. This is a very complex painting with distinct foreground, middle, and background, each containing several elements. And she describes each one of these in sufficient detail so that you, even if you can't see the painting, you really feel like you know what's on the canvas. For each artwork, the verbal descriptions were written by Amy Mednick and edited by Lisa Helen Hoffman, who's a consultant with the Memorial Art Gallery, with additional input from Renee Latour of the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, also here in Rochester, New York. They were read by a trained audio describer, Anita Nicoletta, who is also a volunteer reader for WXXI Reach Out Radio. Ruth Finney generously donated the recording and production time at WXXI Reach Out Radio for making these recordings. This particular painting is also a part of the curator's tour, and here's the curator, Marjorie Searle, with an excerpt of her description.
The title of this painting, Boomtown, is a word that describes a community experiencing rapid economic and population growth, usually due to one significant resource or phenomenon. Rochester, New York, for example, was considered to be America's first boomtown because the Erie Canal passed through and transformed it from a small village to an economic engine, the young lion of the West. Around 100 years later, in the 1920s, when oil was discovered in the Texas Panhandle, boomtowns like Borger, depicted here, sprang up virtually overnight to accommodate the thousands of people who were seeking their fortune. The vitality and specificity of the scene is deeply connected to the artist's belief in the strength and character of the lives of ordinary Americans. Here is Boomtown in the artist's own words. Out on the open plain, beyond the town, a great thick column of black smoke rose as in a volcanic eruption from the earth to the middle of the sky. There was a carbon mill out there that burned thousands of cubic feet of gas every minute, a great, wasteful, extravagant burning of resources for momentary profit.
And the quotation from the artist keeps going for over another minute, but it gives a great feeling for what the artist was trying to convey with the painting.
And what's interesting is, at least for some of the pictures in the museum here, there are the different audio descriptions, as they mentioned, the one for the visually impaired, the curator's tour, the director's audio tour, and they all give a slightly different flavor, different way of looking at the picture. The one for the visually impaired was, you know, pretty objective, just kind of stated facts about the picture and what you were looking at without a lot of interpretation. The curator gave you, obviously, a lot more interpretation, a lot more of the flavor of the picture, sort of how it fit into the times, a little bit about the artist. So you know, depending on which one you like or in some combination, you might enjoy these in different ways.
So audio tours in museums were not always a common thing. In fact, they didn't used to exist at all. But in 1986, Margaret and Cody Fansteel, who are great advocates for the visually impaired, actually initiated the first audio description tours of museums and exhibits, starting with the Statue of Liberty and Castle Clinton in New York, two national monuments that are managed by the National Park Service. So that's great. You get an audio description. Well, some of this art is actually three-dimensional, and they let us touch it. Now, I was raised never to touch the art, but when somebody who works at the museum hands you a pair of rubber gloves and says, it's okay, you can touch it, well, what a treat that was.
That was.
Peter, I'm going to have you just put your hands straight ahead.
Now, I'm sometimes mean to him and make him guess what it is.
That is exactly what
I
was going to do.
Oh, please, are we going to do this?
You've got two minis.
Yeah?
You've got two minis here, and so
but
I'm
going to
say...
I was going to take pity on him because this is
this
not going to
really
happen.
Hard.
It feels
this
like a
is...
fish.
All right. Well, what do you see? I'm just going to use that
well,
language.
Well, I mean, this little thing here feels like a mouth, like it's
okay.
a fish's
All right.
mouth. And then these look like two little eyes.
Okay.
It's like a porpoise or something.
Okay. So now, what are you touching right now? Just describe it. What are you feeling?
I don't know. They almost feel like wings or little
okay.
shells or something.
So they're wing kind of shapes. All
yeah.
right. So you're gonna put this all together at the end because you haven't seen everything
okay.
yet. Okay. Move back up to the top where that fish head is.
Okay.
Now, move. I don't have good left, right.
Neither do I.
Whatever
Believe
this
it or
head
not.
Is.
This is left.
This is left.
Okay.
Move that hand down.
Yeah.
And what do you see down below? What you're doing, first of all, is scanning.
Uh-huh.
Just tactily scanning. So just describe what you're feeling. And just know this is really, really tough. This is like the graduation.
I don't know. It feels like someone's haunches or something. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Okay. Your abs. I'm going to just say, I don't always say yes immediately, but yes, you're absolutely
yeah.
right. They are haunches.
Okay. I give up.
All right. With your permission,
you
I'm going to show
your...
you different
okay.
parts
Go ahead.
Now.
Okay. That's cool.
Okay. Here, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You were, this is a mouth.
Okay.
You did
this?
Yes,
yeah.
that is
okay.
a mouth.
Yeah.
And you did see the eyes.
Eyeballs, yeah.
Yep, eyeballs.
Okay.
Now, these wing shapes,
yeah.
and you've got another one over here.
Yeah.
Those are the ears. There are haunches. They're not people haunches, but
yeah.
they are baby deer haunches.
Mm-hmm.
And it is all folded together. Trace this.
Mm-hmm. His
you
neck
can,
here?
Now you see the neck.
Right.
And now you see the front of
right.
the animal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And folded underneath him.
Jeez.
The legs.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
it just seems all distorted.
It right? is totally
but that's
distorted.
Art, right?
It's totally distorted.
It's
and
cool.
it is sort of the graduation lesson is abstraction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you guys are physicists, you deal
mm-hmm.
with abstraction
yeah.
all the time. So, what is the essence of this animal is the compact,
mm-hmm.
just gathering. Of all of the parts of this tiny creature
mm-hmm. into one little ball.
Into one little protected ball.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and nice and flowing.
And nice and flowing.
Shapes.
Exactly.
See, to me, it's looking up lovingly at its mom.
It does look kind of
it
loving.
It is. There's something yeah. very.
I know the sky's up there too, but.
Yeah,
but
no.
to me, it's like mom is right here.
Yeah. So, all right. I know you have someplace else that you have to go, so that's.
Yeah.
We can take off. The gloves now, and then you can really look
oh,
at
see
that
the window cast. Okay,
yeah.
cool.
I should have asked ahead of time what the title of the piece was, and that would have given me a lot better of a hint. As
she
to
wouldn't
what to look
have
for.
Told you.
No, she wouldn't have. The title was too revealing. It was called Fawn or something like that.
It was. And after that, we actually got to see a very tall, graceful female figure. Out of white marble, that was another real treat to be able to explore in so much detail.
Yeah, that was kind of neat. She was in the process of running, and it was really apparent from feeling it that you could sort of feel the breeze rippling through her dress and see her feet, how they were sort of twisted on the ground in the shape of running. It was neat.
So if you want this same experience for yourself, call them ahead of time, make sure they can find you a trained docent or staff person to give you a tour, or on Thursday, October 13th, the Memorial Art Gallery is celebrating the premiere of the audio tours. They've had the touch tours for a while with a special event that's open to the public from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can go and see what we've been talking about. And this community expo is presented in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio and the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired of Greater Rochester. Admission is free that afternoon. If you want more information, you can call them at area code 585-276-8970. As promised, the high-tech item we'll talk about actually accessing the audio descriptions. At the Memorial Art Gallery, they have it set up to use a cell phone to phone in, but they also have it set up so you can download the files ahead of time as MP3s and put them on whatever reading device you have. So they're working on a special website for the event on Thursday, October 13th, where you'll be able to download all the audio descriptions ahead of time. There will be technical staff available from the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired at the event, and they will be able to assist guests in downloading the descriptions if they're having any difficulty. Now, you need to know to bring your own listening equipment. So you can either bring your cell phone or any other kind of device that will play an MP3 file, or be able to listen directly from the web. And this can include your MP3 player, a Victor Reader Stream, a Bookport Plus, or whatever. So bring your own equipment and really enjoy the audio tours.
And one advantage, well, several advantages of bringing your own listening equipment, like a Bookport or a Victor Reader Stream, is that you can speed up these things to any desired listening speed. And sometimes if you're used to listening to things more quickly, you may want to get through these a little bit more quickly. And plus, you don't have to use up your cell phone minutes.
That's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about web-based information about blindness issues and eye diseases. And this includes some professional ophthalmological information, but also something as simple as a distribution list where people who have visual impairments can share pointers and be supportive of one another. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.